All right, well, let's turn in our Bibles to John chapter 4.
John chapter 4, I want to read just one verse to start with, and then we'll go from there. Verse number 34. In John chapter 4, verse number 34, Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. Father, we thank you for your word as we spend just a few moments in it tonight. We ask your blessing upon us. May your spirit fill each one of us that we might hear what you would have for us. We'll give you all the thanks now for all that you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen. In this verse, I want to focus on one phrase, and then we're going to jump around from there. But as Jesus, of course, here is at the well in Samaria, had spoken with the Samaritan woman, and the disciples, of course, were not present as he spoke with her. As they came back, she was on her way out into the city because she had trusted Christ as her Savior and wanted to tell them all that had happened to her and wanted them to experience the same thing she experienced, and that was the forgiveness of sin and the salvation God offers. But as Jesus spoke with the disciples, they were a little bit flabbergasted that he would talk to her and the fact that he really had lost his appetite. I find that amazing. You can ask Amy, I'm always hungry. There's not a time right now you could put a 7-course meal in front of me and man, I'd just slop it up. And then when church is done, you know what I'd do when I got home? I'd eat again. I'm always hungry. But he lost his appetite apparently. He says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. And this is the phrase, the last phrase, to finish his work. To finish his work. You know, there came a day not too long after this day when he said, it is finished, didn't he? And salvation was secure, the work was done, and praise God, it's offered to us, and we can accept it by his free grace. To finish the work, God gives us a work. That's implied in this, isn't it? God has something for us to do. And actually, finish the work is not the title of my message this evening. The title actually is good versus best. Good versus best. It's a phrase we hear from time to time. And I thought that would be a good thing to speak on this evening as we have heard the presentation of the Women and Teens Pregnancy Center. There's a lot of pregnancy centers out there doing a good work. Rescuing those babies, as many as they can, because what a travesty it is to kill even one. And yet, as you saw how many are being slaughtered mercilessly in their mother's wombs, the very one who should protect them, not just as a baby, but as they grow until they're on their own. If a mother won't care for them, who will? They're doing a good work. But unfortunately, a lot of them are missing out on doing the best work. The best work. Now, what is the best work? I think John chapter 4 says it all, doesn't it? Jesus, instead of going to get food, they had been traveling. He was hungry. He was tired. He was thirsty. The disciples go on ahead into the city to bring the food back. But if I'm Jesus in that situation, you know what I do? I outrace him to the city. I want to get to that food source first because I'm hungry. I don't want to have to wait for them to go, and they're hungry too. They're going to eat before they head back. I want to get that food. But Jesus, being God, knew that there was an appointment that he had to keep that was better, that was more important than feeding his hungry belly. You see, God had a work for him to do. And he had to stay there until that work was done. He had a woman that God was sending his way. A woman who is hurting, a woman who is in need, much like many of the women that go into the center. And so Jesus stayed behind. He passed up that which was good for that which is best. You know, there's a lot of examples in the scriptures. This obviously being one, Jesus, instead of eating, chose to win souls. And I say souls plural because even though he only spoke with one at first, we know as we read the chapter that it multiplied into many. So much so that as he went into that town desired that he would stay there and continue to teach and preach to them. Multitudes were saved because Jesus gave up that which is good for that which is best. He gave up that which perhaps he felt he needed for that work that God had him to do. Turn back, if you would, to Luke chapter 6. And if it seems like I'm not spending as much time as I'd like to, it is the case. I'd like to spend a couple hours on this, just elaborating and developing this and sharing time after time where we find in the Scriptures that there are those who gave up that which is good for that which is best. But in Luke chapter 6, verse number 12, we find a second example from the life of Christ. It tells us there in verse number 12, it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Now, how many of you have spent, and this is a rhetorical question, don't answer, how many of you have ever spent all night in prayer? How many of you even spent till the midnight hour in prayer? How many of us have even given up any sleep for prayer? You know, sleep is important. We need sleep to function. We need sleep to be sharp. In fact, we can even be pious and say, hey, I need my sleep so that when I read the Scriptures, I get something out of it to grow spiritually and stay close to God. I need my sleep so that when I pray, I don't drowse off. I can stay awake when I sleep, or excuse me, when I pray. I need my sleep so that when I try to share the gospel, man, I can be sharp. I won't forget those words I'm trying to say. I won't forget the verses that I know, but I can't get out if I'm tired. We can justify sleep. Sleep is good. God designed our bodies so that they need that sleep. But there are times when there's something better because God has a work for us to finish. And sometimes in order to finish that work, we've got to be willing to give up perhaps a little sleep. Now we know again from reading the Scriptures the result of this all-night prayer meeting with God. Did you ever wonder about this verse? And this is off the subject, but I often wonder about this verse. Who was Jesus? He's God. Was he ever out of fellowship with God? Certainly not. Why was it necessary for him to spend all night in prayer to God? I don't have an answer. If you have an answer, perhaps you can share it with me. But here's God spending all night in prayer to God because he had an incredibly important decision to make. Because that morning, as the sun rose, he selected the 12 disciples and he sent them forth as apostles. He invested his life into these 12. And I don't imagine that as he prayed, the subject of his prayer was, God, which one of the multitude? Because at this time he was popular. At this time he had a great multitude to select from. I think he knew. But I think he spent that night in prayer for these 12 men. And I personally believe that he spent the majority of the time praying for one. And that one I don't believe was Peter. Even though Peter had a great work to do. I don't think that one was John, even though John was a disciple whom Jesus loved. I think the one Jesus spent probably the most time praying for was probably Judas Iscariot, the one whose soul was lost, and that Jesus knew would one day betray him. I believe Jesus was pleading for his soul that he would wake up and choose Christ and recognize his need of the Savior. But here we find that Jesus face sleep versus prayer. He had that which was good versus that which is best, realizing though that he had a work to finish, he knew he needed to spend that time in prayer. What an example to us if we were to think that we can do anything for God and accomplish anything for eternity without prayer. If Jesus needed to spend that time, how much more do we need to spend that time in prayer? But too often we're preoccupied with the good and miss the best and wonder why we never finish the work that God has given to us to finish. Well, let's look at one third example over in Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. I really would have loved to spend the entire evening on Acts chapter 8. I love this chapter. One of my heroes of the faith is here. Named one of my boys after one of my heroes of the faith from this chapter, and that's Philip. The previous two chapters are about Stephen. Named the first boy after him, another one of my heroes. But I love this in Acts chapter 8. Verse 26 with me if you would. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. God said, I've got a work for you to do, Philip. Now, let's put this into the context. And I've preached from this passage before, and so you're familiar with it, I believe. The fact is, Philip was a pastor. Philip was preaching and was incredibly successful. The church was growing. People were being saved. They were being baptized. They were going out and preaching to everyone in the city. A great work was being done for God. God had a work for Philip there in that city. But the Holy Spirit came knocking on Philip's heart. Said, hey, Philip, I've got another work for you to do now. I want you to take off to this road. He didn't say where or what would be there on that road when he got there. He just said, Philip, I see and understand you're here in this city ministering to this church family. And I understand the blessings you're seeing in your ministry, Philip. But I've got a work for you to finish, and it's down on the road that leads towards Egypt. So I want you to pack your bags. I want you to head right now and head down to that road that leads to Egypt. And I like the fact that Philip simply packed his bags and left. He did not need all the details. You know, how many of us would leave on a trip like this without at least going to MapQuest? You know, we would want more information so we would know what to pack. We would check the Weather Channel. Do I need to bring my raincoat and umbrella? Or can I get by with just short sleeves? Or perhaps bring my winter? We want all the details. God, how long will I be staying? Will I need to pack a sack lunch? God, give me all the details, all the information. How can I prepare? What am I to do once I get there? Philip didn't require the information. The only information Philip required was, Philip, I have a work for you to finish. So Philip went and finished that work. But again, it's a question of good versus best. Because he was already doing a good work, wasn't he? But God asked him to leave ministry in order to be obedient. He had no idea. He assumed, I imagine, that there was ministry at the end of that road. But at this point in his life, he did not know that. All he knew was that he was requested to go by God. And if he was going to be obedient to God, he had to leave. He was doing a good work. God said, I've got something better for you. And it's interesting because in the church, he was ministering to multitudes. When he went down on the road that leads to Egypt, he ministered to one. But God said, Philip, I've got a work for you to do, to finish. And he chose obedience over ministry. You know, sometimes God has us doing something for Him, and He asks us to change gears because He has a work for us to finish. And as we compare the two ministries, the one we're currently involved in, a good work, involves more people. We say, I have more influence. I'm more comfortable because I've been doing it now for a while. But if I go and do the other thing that perhaps God is leading me to do, it's going to be incredibly uncomfortable, and I don't know what's on the other side of that. I don't know if there will be any success there, because this was a barren desert area God told him to go to. I'm glad Philip was obedient. I believe that this Ethiopian eunuch took the gospel down into Africa and that there were souls saved as a result. Because there were Christians in Africa without any explanation of how they arose. And I believe our answer is right here in Acts chapter 8. And so as we consider, first of all, the Women and Teens Pregnancy Center, I really respect from the very first day I heard about them that they're doing both a good work, but the best work. I'm sure you heard it emphasized that their main priority is to try to win these ladies to Christ, realizing that that then will give them the morality to protect that baby's life. But also in our own lives, what have we filled it up with? Good things. But are we doing the best? Because I believe, even young people, I believe God has a work for you to finish. Will you finish it for God? And leave off, maybe, if you have to, some of these good things in your life in order to do what God has for you to do. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these examples. Certainly there are so many more in the Bible that we could have alluded to tonight. But Father, I think the point was made. And Father, now help us to have that wisdom in order to determine the best work, the work you've given to us to finish. And then Father, by your grace, empowered by your Spirit, Father, may we see that work through to completion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.